Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome to the Steve Jones Show. Steve joining us momentarily, Kevin Herr. Steve from the Sunbury Motors Studio, of course. Talking about a host of different things, plus getting ready for the Kentucky Derby later on this week and into the weekend. We'll have a gentleman who knows just a little bit about the Kentucky Derby and horse racing in general. We'll have basketball partner Dick Javardian. He's also well-versed in the sport of kings. He'll be joining us later on this week here on the Steve Jones Show. You can also join us online, answer some of the poll questions. That's SteveJonesShow.com, SteveJonesShow.com, where the poll question continues from yesterday involving teams of area interest in the NFL and how you thought they did with the draft, like the Eagles, Steelers, Giants, Ravens, just some of the choices you'll have to vote on here this afternoon and tonight yet. And follow us on Twitter, at Steve Jones PSU. Once again, that's at Steve Jones PSU for the Twitter feed. And, of course, Facebook as well with Steve Jones Show. That's one of the many ways you can catch up with the Steve Jones Show. And don't forget, you can hear any of the interviews that you hear on the program once again, or if you happen to be jumping in and out of the car or running from different things at work and can't hear all the interview, we'll have the entire broadcast hour by hour available for you at SteveJonesShow.com. Just a couple of things you'll be able to find when you visit us online. Steve Jones from the Sunbury Motors Studio coming up next.
Beautiful day today here at the Chateau. We welcome you aboard. Another successful Phillies bullpen stint last night. And later in the show today, we're going to hear from Sean Deegan, who hit the walk-off home run to beat Ohio State. We're going to hear from Penn State softball coach Robin Petrini. Her team has three straight walk-off wins, and both teams are now in the running for Big Ten postseason play. And later this week, on Friday, Dick Girardi from the Kentucky Derby.
Lay your money down.
Do you realize how many people come up to me and they ask me, who's dick picking?
Yeah, including me.
Who's dick picking? Well, we'll find out firsthand. We might as well go live to Churchill Downs in Louisville and find out. We'll have Dick on Friday.
Yeah, that I'm looking forward to that more than anything else because I'm ready to make a couple of bets, but I need the advice of someone who's watched a little more horse racing than I have in the last decade.
His percentage is unbelievably good. Unbelievably good. Now, when we went to Mohegan Sun, Penn State played in that tournament. They're playing in Puerto Rico this year. I think they'll eventually reveal the field. It's Oklahoma State, Tennessee, NC State, Penn State, Southern Mississippi, Akron, UMass. There's one other team. I did pretty well just doing that. So Penn State plays the Mohegan Sun, and they play Kentucky, and, of course, Kentucky won. And then they played South Florida, and Penn State won that game, beat it by four. So back-to-back NCAA tournament teams. And when I was at Ohio State to do football, they arrived on a Friday night while I flew to Columbus. And I didn't join them till Sunday morning. So they have what's called horse book in there. Okay. So the guys go down with Dick, and, of course, they're going to lean on him to do whatever it takes to win, right? He didn't have his best night.
So somebody from the horse book walks up to the table and says, you guys aren't doing too well, right? And Jeff Tarman says, well, we have our expert here. He says, I'd change experts. if you had his percentage.
That hurts. That hurts. So in other words, he's not a lead pipe lock.
Who is? I mean, who is? You're talking about animals here. Talking about animals. It's and not only that, this race is the single most unpredictable horse race in the world. Why? I ask you why.
Because there's usually a lot more horses involved in this than any other race.
That's because the limit in United States horse racing is 14 horses. That is the limit. 14 is the limit in United States horse racing. Except the Kentucky Derby, where they allow 20. It is a cluster bomb at the beginning of the event.
Every time I would watch the Derby or lay down a bet on the Derby, I would worry if they had the extra gate out.
They always have the extra gate out.
Yeah, but if they fill it, I should say.
Well, they will fill it. They always have 20.
Well, it depends on the weather.
Depends on what weather. I've never seen a Kentucky Derby in the recent years and had 20 horses. They always have 20. If people want to enter their horse in the Kentucky Derby, believe me, if the weather's lousy, they're going to enter the horse because they think they may have a better shot. They always have 20.
Trying to find out, have they had all the entries put in yet? Because they don't do the draw.
The draw is tomorrow.
Yeah, I was going to say, they don't do the draw yet.
Yeah, the draw is tomorrow. Look, Union Rags and one of Bob Baffert's horses are going to be the favorites.
Listen, anytime you bet on a Bob Baffert horse, you're okay.
He's not riding it.
I know that. But it's still okay.
I'm just telling you.
Let's see. I'm trying to find out how many they have in the Derby here.
20.
Oh, you know that this year there's 20? Or you're just saying...
There's always 20.
Oh.
I mean, go ahead and look, but I'm telling you, it's going to be 20.
Trying to see if this is the Derby or the Oaks there. Let's see. Alpha, Bodemeister, Creative Cause, Daddy Long Legs, Daddy Knows Best, Done Talking, Dullahan.
Dullahan may be the Baffert horse.
No, that's a Dale Romans, but Kent Desmarais is on that one, and he's not a bad pick usually as a rider.
Oh, Kent DeSermo.
Or DeSermo, sorry. What did I say? No, forget it. Let's see. El Padrino, Gemologist, Hansen. I'll have another. Oh, there's a pick right there. Liaison, Optimizer, Perspective, Rousing Sermon. Sabercat, Take Charge Indy. Oh, is this like every horse ever known, or is this every horse in the Derby right now? That's a lot of horses.
Yeah, but where's Union Rags?
I don't know. That's what I was looking for. I haven't seen it yet. Maybe it's down toward the bottom. Oh, there it is. It's at the bottom.
Yeah, it's probably done in alphabetical order.
Yeah. Union Rags and Went the Day Well. I'm trying to find a Baffert horse, though. Hang on.
How many horses are there?
I have to count that now.
This could take a while. This could take a while. Good.
Wow. 10.
This is going better than I thought it would. Much 14. Better. 14.
16.
Yep.
18.
Yep.
19.
Yep.
20.
So all that to confirm what I've been saying for 5 minutes.
I knew I would make you happy with that. Bodemeister is a Bob Baffert horse.
Okay.
Let's see. See if there's any of that. I know that was, and I think that's the only one.
No.
Liaison's in there yet.
Liaison. I think it's the first one you mentioned. But he will be on the show Friday to talk about the Kentucky Derby. How about Johnny Troutman? Johnny Troutman, drafted by the San Diego Chargers, won't be able to play the 2012 season. Partial tear of the pectoral muscle while lifting weights. And he told the Chargers, the Chargers knew ahead of time. They knew ahead of time. They still drafted him. He'll spend 2012 in the IR. He'll rehab, then eventually get back into practice for them on their practice squad, and then go from there.
How's his knee?
Good. No problem with that.
He had a couple of, didn't he have a knee trouble after the Senior Bowl?
Yeah, but he's fine there. But that's not the reason he got hurt.
Right, right. No, I realize that.
But he tore a pectoral muscle while working out last weekend. He needed surgery. So give him credit. Give the Chargers credit. They knew about it. They still picked him. Wow.
32 starts without a sack, without giving up a sack at left guard.
Yeah. No, I mean, Johnny's a quality player. I mean, he's got excellent strength. His quickness is okay. I mean, he could be a little quicker. But, we knew he'd get picked, and he got picked, which is fine. He will do well in San Diego, and having the extra year will help him out a lot. So, you know, that's what we have. And then we'll have Sean Deegan. We'll have him out of the news at 3:30. Penn State baseball player, hit the game with his first team all Big Ten last year. Said he'd be willing to teach your son the skills of baseball.
I'm glad somebody can, because I sure can't.
I mean, you know. He did ask me point blank who was teaching him. I showed him your picture. He said he'd do it for free.
That explains an awful lot.
And then we'll have Robin Petrini, the Penn State softball coach. So that's what we have lined up on today's broadcast extravaganza. But we also have open lines at 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. And I will be at La Primavera tomorrow night. Tomorrow night at La Primavera. And I guess, based on the results, because we have the link to get tickets for the event.
Yes.
And that link got a little red hot yesterday.
Yes. Yes. I understand that they've gotten a nice little crowd for you there.
Well, wonderful. And you'll be there doing an autograph signing before I get there. So, I mean, that ought to just take the thing and
they're lining up for that.
And, well, I wouldn't brag about it. Our number is 1-800-795-9565, 1-800-795-9565. I want to talk to you. We'll hear from you in a few moments here on WKOK.
Sports talk where your voice counts. The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
That's the one thing that has baffled me forever about the Big East. It would be one thing to say, okay, you don't want to join us for football, but you want to play basketball. Okay, I can live with that. But do not give them a bowl bid. Don't hand your bowl bid over. And they do that all the time.
Be part of the Steve Jones Show weekday afternoons from 3 to 5 on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The entire world watched. They watched each step down the rungs of that small ladder, one after another, and waited with great anticipation for that last step.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
At that moment, humanity saw the impossible become the possible, and today the sky is not the limit. Achievement. Pass it on from the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
News Radio 1070 WKOK wants you to know about the people and organizations that help make the Susquehanna Valley a better place to live.
Hi, this is Annie from the American Red Cross. Our second annual Benefit Jazz and Wine Fest is coming right up. Friday, May 11th at Spyglass Ridge Winery in Sunbury. Sponsored by Blaze Alexander, Buick, Cadillac, GMC Truck. Call now for tickets, 524-0400. Great food, wine, and smooth jazz, all to benefit your American Red Cross.
Welcome back. 1-800-795-9565. 1-800-795-9565. Don't know if there's a fix for the Phillies there, buddy boy. They, it's amazing. They're finding different ways to not get it done.
Yeah. Well, you know, Worley had a good start to the game. Looked good. Unfortunately, got nothing out of it.
I think he has pitched well all season long. I cannot say, I mean, he was not a question mark going into the season. You just wondered if he could follow up what he was 11-3 last year. If he could follow it up with, you know, and you know, to show that he's for real. Well, he's for real. He's a good pitcher. And they have four good pitchers on this team, four good starting pitchers, and they're not taking advantage of it. And that's the issue. They are not taking advantage of it so far. And I think anybody would beg to have their staff, and I think they'd love to have Vance Worley. You know, but they're 11-12 now after last night's, and you love Papelbon.
I just like watching him work.
Well, they won, what was it, 6-4 last night?
6-4, yeah. It was 4-0 going into the seventh inning, and then everything kind of imploded for the Phillies pitching.
Yeah, but that's fine. But they still won.
At least they had some offense this time.
Yeah.
And a big double from Polanco really helped out a lot.
And Papelbon continues to pitch well. Papelbon has not given up a run since that game at Miami. And that's it. So why his ERA is 0.90. He's been what they've asked him to be. And he gave up, what, a home run in Miami, and that's been it. That's the only run he's given up all year in 10 innings of work. He only's given up 6 hits in 10 innings, 10 strikeouts, only 3 walks. He has 8 saves. And he's 8-for-8 in save opportunities. I mean, I think he has been exactly what they hoped he would be.
Opposing teams hitting .176 against him right now.
All right. And this is great for him because, I mean, they're seeing his stuff for the first time. I mean, the teams have bothered him over the years, and he actually pitched pretty well over the years against the Yankees. But you see him often enough, there's certain things you try to lay off of because you have a scouting report on the guy. I mean, you're talking about a guy who has a 2.29 career ERA in 7 years. He's only 31. And he has been everything you'd expect him to be. I mean, he was a strict fastball guy when he first came up, fastball, curveball. Then he's added in the split. Splits helped him. Took him a while to get used to throwing the splits because sometimes that split would flat out. And a couple of years ago, that was a bothersome part. But look, here they are, May 1st. Here it is, May Day. And despite the repeated pleas within the Her household for Kevin to use May Day as a holiday, he showed up today anyway. The Phillies on May Day are only 3.5 games out of first. They're only 3.5 out. Now, the team they're chasing, the Washington Nationals, have scored 2 fewer runs than the Phillies this year. Do you realize that?
Really? No.
But that's true. But they've given up 19 fewer runs than the Phillies. How about that one?
No, wait. Say that again.
Washington pitching has given up 19 fewer runs than Philadelphia pitching.
And then the first part of that stat?
Is that Washington has scored 2 fewer runs.
Wow.
And they're 14-8. They have a 3.5 game lead in the Phils. That's remarkable, isn't it? I mean, for all the complaints we've had about the Philadelphia offense, now the Nationals lost last night to the Dodgers 2-0. I mean, the Nationals, they aren't hitting. They're 28th in batting average in Major League Baseball. They're 30th dead last in slugging percentage. They're 22nd in on-base percentage. They're 27th in runs. That's why they brought Bryce Harper up. I mean, Harper is now a part of the mix. And I think they felt they had to do it because they needed to get more juice into their lineup. They think he can be a run producer for them, and they need a run producer. But the pitching for Washington has been outstanding. When you look at what they've done pitching-wise this year, guess who's number one in Major League Baseball in ERA? The Nationals team ERA is 2.33. Batting average? You want to know what teams are hitting against the Nationals pitchers this year? 2.03.
Combined right and left, right?
This is everything.
Wow.
2.03. The Nationals have played 22 games this year. How many quality starts do you think they have? 17. That's second in Major League Baseball. 17 quality starts. Here's the issue for Washington. At some point, they have pledged after 160 innings, Steven Strasburg will be shut down. We never shut down Sarah Bartlett. News is next here on WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Talk about the Washington Nationals a little bit more in a moment, but before we do that, the Penn State baseball team, they may not get a lot of ink, but they are on a roll. They started out 3-14. Since that point, they are 19-8. They've taken 2 out of 3 in consecutive weekends to Michigan, Iowa, and now Ohio State. And Ohio State, it was dramatic. Sean Deegan hit a walk-off 3-run homer in the bottom of the 10th inning to beat Ohio State after Ohio State had scored in the top of the 10th to take the lead. And we'd like to welcome in Sean Deegan. Welcome. Great to have you with us.
Thanks for having me.
So let's go back to the dramatic moment in the bottom of the 10th inning on Sunday. Your team is down, trying to somehow keep things rolling because your team has been on a roll. Tell us about the sequence and the feeling of the moment.
Just going into the 10th inning, obviously we had a pretty big deficit, but, obviously the at-bats by JC and Elliott were just unbelievable, especially Elliott. He's down 1-2, two outs in the 10th inning, down 2 runs. He easily could, just caved in, but he just battled and got on base. And I got up there and Dazay threw first pitch fastball in, got through to the backstop. So, we had second and third, and at that point I'm just thinking, all right, now I just got to get a base hit and just tie this thing up. And, since he came in with the first pitch, I thought, maybe he's going to just try to blow him by me again. And that's what he tried to do, and just put it right where I wanted it.
And this is not a home run park, but you just drilled that thing.
Yeah, I mean, literally couldn't have asked for a better pitch in that situation, and, just put it right where I wanted it.
You almost put the helmet back in your noggin when you threw the thing. You threw it high in the air, Sean, but you didn't throw it that far from you. It looked like it came down relatively close to you.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even really remember. I remember I just turned third base, and I saw Steve Hill in the middle of everybody, and he was just kind of motioning to me to, throw the helmet up, and I just, just threw it up there, and I don't even know where it went.
Well, finally you made your way to home plate. You survived that mob scene. Sometimes that could be tougher to get through than people realize.
Yeah, I mean, it's insane. We've had a couple walk-offs this year. Obviously, Steve's no-hitter, and, just every time that we have those moments, just everybody's so excited. And, obviously, when I got that hit, Steve got his no-hitter, Elliott had a walk-off earlier in the year, just everybody in the team is just so excited for that person. And just, the excitement that I have hitting it, everybody else felt that too. And just, it gets insane out there. You got to be careful with everybody jumping around, and, you got cleats on, and, it's crazy, but everybody came out of it okay.
They came out of it okay, and so did your baseball team. I mean, it's another weekend where you've taken 2 out of 3. You took 2 out of 3 from Michigan. You took 2 out of 3 at Iowa. You took 2 out of 3 against Ohio State. You're 7-3 in your last 10 Big Ten games. Give us a feeling of what it's like in that clubhouse right now.
Yeah, I mean, just definitely, early on in the year, we kind of had a rough start and our record didn't really show what kind of team we were. And we knew that it was when we got into the Big Ten, it was basically a new season. And, to win the series against Ohio State is big, because now going into these next couple weekends against Minnesota, Illinois, and Michigan State, we really, as a team, we feel like we have our fate in our own hands, basically. We just need to go out there and, just continue to win every series. And if we win every series from here on out, we should put ourselves in a really good spot. And, you know, obviously the teams that are going to be playing are really, really good ball clubs, and they're all in the mix too for, you know, making the Big Ten tournament. But if we just go out there and do what we need to do and we play how we've been playing, we should put ourselves in a really good spot.
You were not installed as the leadoff hitter, or at least made the return to the leadoff spot until, three, 4 weeks ago. Give us an idea of the mindset it takes to go from being a little further down the order to suddenly being the table setter at the top of the order. Did you have to change?
You know, with our team, you know, it didn't really change my mindset too much. Obviously, you know, I'm a little bit of a free swinger, and Coach Juan definitely lets me, swing the bat early in the count a lot of games when I'm leading off. So kind of just depends on, you know, the pitcher. You know, if the pitcher's more wild, you know, maybe I'll go up there and I'll try to take a few pitches. And, you know, if the pitcher's around the zone, then, you know, as a team, we might have an approach of just trying to get out up early and, you know, see a strike and just hit it hard. So it's more so of, the game plan that we're taking as a team, not so much, you know, myself moving up, you know, to leading off and whatnot. But obviously I led off most of last year, so I feel really comfortable there. And, you know, I love batting in front of guys like Debo and Jordan and, you know, Stevie. So I think it really doesn't matter, where I'm batting, you know, with my mindset so much as just as our team mindset is more important.
But in the past, though, you've run. I mean, you have run a lot. Give us an idea of the state of the running game right now with you being back at the top of the order.
Obviously, I mean, last couple of games I've been struggling a little bit. So I haven't been getting on base as much and, haven't stolen as recently. But as a team, we're definitely trying to get on base and trying to, you know, steal more and trying to make teams, you know, throw the ball around and make some errors. And I think one thing we talk about as a team is in a lot of these wins we've had recently in the Big Ten, either, you know, like a two-out walk or an error or something that happens, you know, that the other team basically gives us in that inning that we just, you know, thrive off of and take and use it against them. So that's definitely one thing, you know, running game and definitely drawing walks has been a huge part of our game. And, you know, guys like me and Stevie and Elliott are definitely trying to get on base and steal second.
The other part of it is that you're second on this team and runs knocked in. Jordan Steranko, no surprise, is the leader. You're actually a little bit ahead of Joey DeBernardis. Is there a different approach at the plate when you see something on the table for you?
I think definitely it depends on the situation. But, if you got a guy on third base, less than two outs, you know, you can try to drive the ball a little bit more. You can, you put a stack fly, stuff like that. And, I think that sometimes when there's guys on base and it's that big situation where you got to get a hit, it just kind of gives you that extra little bit of adrenaline and a little extra focus to, you know, really try to drive the ball. And, got to give credit to the guys that are getting on base in front of me. And I know that especially a guy like Elliott Sear, he's been really turning it on lately and just, you know, drawing a lot of walks, getting on base in front of me. So, you know, I got to give the credit to them.
Because you played 44 games this year, Sean, and you already have more runs knocked in than when you played a full 51-game season in 2010, and you're knocking on the door what you did last year. So when you've had the opportunity, you've knocked in runs. Now, are you graduating this week?
I got two more classes I got to take over the summer.
Summertime. But you picked criminal justice. Why?
Just because I got some family and friends that are in the field back home, and one of my dad's best friends is a police officer. I don't particularly want to be a police officer, but I got some family friends that are in the Homeland Security industry and, you know, that business and everything. So kind of just from people that I know back home and, they kind of got me into it. They thought that it'd be something good, something that I'd be interested in. And I don't really like math too much, so I thought this criminal justice would be the way to go. And
math the other day because, you know, suddenly out of nowhere when the ball went over the wall, you added three. You did pretty well there.
When it comes to baseball, I like math, but not really school so much.
Is it any coincidence that in the position you play in the field that Grady Sizemore is your favorite guy?
Well, I mean, I like Grady Sizemore. It's actually funny because when we did those little things online, it was actually a couple of years ago that I had written down Grady Sizemore. So guys kind of joked around about it with me. a lot of opposing fans always joke around with me because he's always injured all the time, and he's really not one of the premier players anymore. So I kind of get ragged on about that. But
when he does play, though, he's pretty darn good. When he does play, he's pretty darn good, though.
Yeah, when he does play, he's really good. He's actually been injured the last couple of years, but I'm actually a Yankees fan. I really like guys like Curtis Granderson, Nick Swisher.
Yeah,
they play more often than Crazy Sizemore now.
Yeah, I know you're a Yankee fan. In fact, Bill O'Brien and I are both very aware you're a Yankee fan.
Because guess
what our team is.
Yeah, I know you like the Red Sox.
Yeah,
I
know you're
terrible,
crying,
terrible
it?
Life. I feel bad for you.
Well, when you're at Target Field playing on Saturday, right? I'm actually going to be in Fenway Park. So.
Are you really?
Yes. Yes, I'm speaking to the Penn State Club of Boston on Saturday night, and I was able to, through various connections, get tickets to Fenway because it's the 100th year of Fenway Park. I
mean, yeah.
I mean, the first time I went there was 1963 when you weren't even thought of. So this team, what has it been about this team that has allowed it not only to come back, but with the deep resolve to really come back with a vengeance the way you have once you finally got back up here?
Something we were talking about the other day is that, there's just something special going on with our team. You look back, Elliott had a walk-off hit. Zach Gell had a walk-off hit. I've had two. We had, Steve Hill threw a no-hitter, which, something most guys don't even experience in their lives, playing baseball. It's just there's so many things that have happened in these last couple weeks that are just moments that really bring teams together. When everybody's on that field in Iowa and, Steve, it's eighth, ninth inning and Steve's throwing that no-hitter, it's just it brings everybody together because, when Steve got that last out, everybody felt the excitement and, the pride and everything that Steve felt. We all felt that for him. And just moments, like Sunday with me hitting the home run and, Elliott getting the walk-off, it's just everybody is just thriving off that. And, we're all kind of finding our roles and just coming together as a team and just really, really pulling for one another and just backing each other up. Obviously, I didn't have a good series at all this weekend, and I step up there in the 10th inning, and all I can hear, from the dugout is just positive things and just, my teammates having my back and, thinking that I'm the guy that's going to come through. And, obviously that kind of support, if we keep that up, I think we have a really special team where we can really do something big.
Yeah, the positive support is something, and you can see it because – when I watch Penn State baseball play, the difference I see between your dugout and the opposing team's dugout is all of you are up on the top step.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're all ready to get involved. You're playing left field the day that Stevie throws the no-hitter. Just from your view, you're not – the center field view would be the perfect view, but what did mm-hmm. you just – when did you sense in the field where even you got a little jittery – because of what he was doing?
Well, in about around the fifth, sixth inning, I was looking at the scoreboard and I was like, he's got a no hitter going here. And I was like, that's pretty impressive. Even just five or six innings of no hit ball, it's pretty impressive. And, we got in the dugout after that and, Coben hit the home run and got back out there in about the seventh inning. And I'm like, wow, he's really got a shot to do this now. And started thinking to myself, I was like, all right, no matter what the situation, I got to make sure, I'm diving, laying out, making any play I can. And, obviously with a kid like Steve, he's just so mentally tough that I believed in about the seventh inning when he still had it going. I was like, kid like Steve, he definitely has a shot to do this. Then, next thing you know, it's the eighth inning, and then we get to the ninth inning, and my heart just started pounding because, he had made it that far. I was just like, with these metal bats, I don't want, one of those blue dinker hits to drop in. And, I think everybody was just, on their toes and everybody's hearts were just pounding. And it was just incredible. He just, the confidence and how he went out there and just kept throwing strikes with all that pressure on him was just incredible.
Yeah, he only faced 29 batters in that game. He walked one, he hit one, he only threw 105 pitches in an amazing performance. Your midweek record has been really strong. Your midweek record has been really strong.
Uh-huh.
Give us an idea of how that has helped set the table for you because of how well you played in midweek games as momentum boosts for you.
Yeah, well, I think obviously a huge part of that has been Mike Franklin. He's pitched, you know, unbelievable in a couple of the starts that he's had. And I think just the biggest thing about the midweek games is that we're coming off, you know, winning a Big Ten series, that you don't want to have that letdown in the middle of the week where, you know, okay, it's not a Big Ten series, but losing a game, nobody ever likes to lose a game. So I think just being able to win those midweek games and just keeping our, you know, keep staying up from the win on the weekend and, you know, just keeping everybody positive and everything like that, I think that's what's been big, because that just keeps the momentum going into the weekend. And I feel like we've just been able to build off those midweek wins.
Target Field, it'll be Friday night, 7:30 Minnesota, Saturday at 3:05, and then Sunday at 2:05, all Eastern time. Just very quickly, just the idea you're going to play at a major league park like Target Field, what does that mean?
Oh, man, it's awesome. I mean, you dream about that. It's awesome. We get to play in the Metrodome, and we get to play at Target Field. I mean, it's just going to be incredible, not to mention that it's, I think, like the second newest park in the major league. So, I mean, everybody's excited. It's going to be like little kids out there.
Well, been there. You're going to love it. Target Field is a gorgeous, gorgeous facility. The scoreboard will be right over your head there in left field. So enjoy it. Have a great time and a great series, because now you're in the process of doing something special. Deegs, thanks a lot for your time.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me.
Sean Deegan, Nittany Lion baseball left fielder. We'll come back with more of the Steve Jones Show on WKOK after this.
When you buy anything, isn't it best to see people who've been around for a long time, satisfying customers just like you all the time? Makes sense, doesn't it? So when you're in the market for a quality new or pre-owned vehicle, the only place to go is Sunbury Motors. They've been in business since 1915, partnering up folks just like you with a vehicle that best suits their needs and budget. Their service after the sale can't be beat. And if you like selection, there's none better than Sunbury Motors. Fords, Kias, Lincolns, Mercurys, Hyundais, Sunbury Motors sells them all. Their finance teams are unmatched. They'll be glad to help you secure the affordable option you want on any new or pre-owned vehicle you find on their lots. See the people who've been in business since 1915. Sunbury Motors Ford, Lincoln Mercury, and Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com.
Welcome back. After the news at the top of the hour, we'll shift gears to softball and talk with Penn State softball coach Robin Petrini. They've had three consecutive walk-off wins. They're back in the Big Ten race. We'll talk with her later in the week. Dick Girardi from Churchill Downs on the Kentucky Derby. And then Kevin has a couple of janitors lined up, too. So, we're looking forward to it.
Okay? I just do my small part.
Oh, boy. Now, Michael Schwimmer has been called up, and he has been on a roll at Lehigh Valley. He's been in, what, seven games, has a couple saves, and 1.04 ERA. They want him to be a setup guy.
They want anybody to be a setup guy at this point.
But 1.04 ERA, that's fine. That's well. I've seen it. He pitched at Williamsport, I want to say 5 years ago. Or 4 years ago. I think Joe Savory pitched there 5 years ago, and he's made a couple of appearances there, and he has one save as well, and he hasn't given up a run. So he's getting called up. And then there's Brian Sanchez, whom I don't recall ever seeing, and he has a 3.21 ERA.
Yeah, he's being called up now because of Dave Herndon going on the DL for 15 retroactive yesterday.
All right. So three pitchers that have pitched well for Lehigh Valley.
And Sanchez was in Williamsport, but it was, maybe he wasn't in Williamsport. No, I was going to say, he wasn't in Williamsport.
Schwimmer and Savory, I distinctly remember.
No, he was with the Red Barons in 05-06.
Yeah, that's what Wilkes-Barre Scranton.
Right.
Yeah.
Formerly known as Wilkes-Barre Scranton Red Barons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who, by the way, may be changing their name again. Of course, they're playing all their games on the road this year because the stadium is being remodeled, and they're discussing changing the name.
Okay. Aren't they called the Yankees right
now? They are called the Scranton Wilkes-Barre Yankees at the moment. Why you would want to change that, I have no idea.
That doesn't make any sense to me. If you're wondering about our guy Dominic Brown, Big D's at 265 right now. He hasn't hit a home run yet, though. I mean, look at these guys in this roster here.
The Iron Pigs roster? Is that what
Let's see. Posednik, of course, he's hitting 200. Derek Mitchell I've seen. Outfielder. This guy can turn, has some power, not bad. Dominic Brown I've seen. Casey Overbeck I've seen. Mike Fontenot I've seen.
Is Brown probably the one guy that may come up and replace Mayberry if things don't turn around soon for him?
Well, at least he's been there before. I mean, that helps. You know, so he's at least been able to face major league pitching in his lifetime. So that's a plus. And so because he's been there will help. I mean, he's not tearing it up at Lehigh Valley, but he's doing well enough. But I'll say this, the fact he hasn't hit a home run yet in a month, and he's only driven in 11 so far. Now, the group I like is the grouping they have at Reading. I like the Reading group a lot. Now, and for a lot of them, that you would think the guys I've seen along the way at Williamsport are the guys that this would be the level they'd be at right now. I mean, they would be at this level right now. And there's some guys that they have there. I think they're going to be pretty good, pretty good players for them down the road. I mean, a guy that's not off to a great start is, like, for example, Tug Hewlett. But Cesar Hernandez is there, sitting 278. Sebastian Valle, you know how much I like him. I think he has a chance to be really good. He's hitting 281, and he's only 21 years old. I will say this. The one thing that really has impressed me about what the Phillies have done, the Phillies have always drafted really well with outfielders and starting pitchers. That's what I've noticed the guys that they've had at Williamsport and catchers. They have had a surplus of catchers there over the years. News top of the hour. The president's in Afghanistan. Sarah Bartlett is in Sunbury. As we continue on WKOK.